You can open your Bibles to the Revelation, chapter 4, where we're going to start tonight. It seems like it's been a month. I guess it probably has been a month since we've had a Sunday evening service. We've been looking at this picture of the throne room, God's throne room in heaven. And we looked at the fact that John was taken up by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, to see things which must shortly take place after these things. And what we see here is a throne that is set in heaven, but it's a throne that's prepared for judgment. The Psalms, Psalm 9, verses 7 and 8, said the Lord has prepared His throne for judgment. And that's really what we see in this particular chapter. We have seen thus far in our studies of this chapter, we've looked at the picture of the one who sits upon the throne in verses 2 and 3. We've looked at the rainbow that is around the throne that reminds us of the flood and the promise that God made never to destroy the earth again with water. So we see the promises of God, and that we've seen the 24 thrones that are around the throne with 24 elders seated on these thrones. They are clothed in white garments, and they are crowned with gold crowns. And so we talked about the fact that this very likely is a heavenly priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood was divided in the days of David into 24 basically divisions of that priesthood. And we saw in Exodus that the fact that the priests wore clothing and crowns, very much like what we see described here. There are some who teach that this is the church, the body of Christ, is represented by these 24 elders. That doesn't seem very likely at all. The number 24 is not associated with the church as far as I know. It certainly is associated with Israel and with the priesthood. These are likely spiritual beings of some sort. I would say they're angelic. They are not angels. They're distinguished between these beings and angels. But they serve God, and they intercede between the saints and God with the prayers and so forth. Tonight we're going to continue our study of the persons and the things that are seen in relationship to God and His heavenly throne. We'll look at what proceeds from the throne. We'll look at what is found before the throne, two things. And we'll look at what is in the midst of the throne and around the throne. I don't know if we'll get to all of it, but that's where we'll head with this direction. What I want to do tonight is I want to read this passage again, down through verse 8. Not very many verses, but I want you to think about all the images that you see there, because we're going to read another passage in the Old Testament Scriptures from the book of Ezekiel that has got a lot of similarity, and I want us to remember what's in here. So let's begin reading in Revelation 4, verse 1. John writes and says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads." Now, here we pick up with new information, verse 5. "And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" We'll stop right there. I know we won't get any farther than that. The first thing we see in verse 5 is something proceeding from the throne, or literally out of the throne. So we've got the throne of God in heaven, and proceeding out of it, and this is continuously proceeding out of it. He says there were lightnings and thunders and voices. Now that word voices can be sounds or noises or voices. It's used for all three of those things in Scripture. The first thought when you hear thunder and lightning is, what do you think of? Rain? Storm? Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing we think of, kind of a violent type of thing. But as we have seen these things before, we've seen thunderings and lightnings and voices before on another occasion. Can you think back on one of those? It goes way back, in fact, pretty good. Go back with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and He's brought them to Himself. There, they are camped at the foot of a mountain. in the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula, the Mount Sinai. And there he is going to enter into a covenant with them. And he tells them, look at verse 5. He says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation," which is interesting. We see that very type of expression in Revelation chapter 1 in regard to the people that he's addressing in this book. He says, "These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." And so Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And so Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Now, as we begin reading, starting in verse 9, we see them gathered before this mountain, and God is preparing them for something that's to happen the third day, 3 days from now. And so we read in verse 9, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever.' And so Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people.'" And so he's preparing them. 3 days from now, God's going to come down on top of that mountain, and they're all going to watch it. They're all going to see it. He gives them instructions about cleansing and preparing themselves and so forth, and tells them how to make themselves holy. But look at verse 16. We pick up with what happens. "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." Can you imagine what it was like to stand before that mountain and to know that God is coming down on this mountain in your sight? And he makes himself known by these signs, thunderings, lightnings, and a thick cloud that he appears there. I think part of the reason of that is to show the power of God. Part of this is to show the holiness of God. He has to be separated from them, and you see that in the thick cloud. And so they're trembling before that. And Moses, verse 17, brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in what? Fire. So you've got thunderings, you've got lightnings, and you've got God descending on this mountain in fire. Now, they've seen God appear as a cloud of fire, have they not? At the night, and night as they travel, that's exactly how he appears as a pillar of cloud by day and smoke and fire by night. And so it says, "Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by what? Voice." So we've got thunderings, we've got lightnings, and we've got voices, the voice of God. And that trumpet sounded to gather the people together. They all trembled in fear, came near the foot of the mountain. They were not supposed to touch it. If they touched it, they would die. And God descended upon that mountain to enter into a covenant relationship with them. Mount Sinai, really, if you think about it, is a mountain of judgment, is it not? I mean, isn't that not what the law is? Here God says, "Here are my holy and righteous commandments. So this is my moral standard for you and for how you to live." And so he gives that to them. And he gives not only the standard, but he gives the judgment. What's going to happen if you break my law? What's going to happen if you do not keep my commandments and obey my voice? And then he gives them ordinances to take care of the fact that they are going to sin. The law by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we see this expression of judgment, I think, when you look at Mount Sinai. The same thing, I think, is clear when you look at the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4. We see an expression of the fact that God's throne is now prepared for judgment. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 for just a second. Isaiah prophesies about the coming day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's judgment, in which he will pour out his judgment upon the earth and upon the ungodliness of man on the earth. And we're not going to read this whole chapter. It all deals with that. I just want to pick out a couple of verses. The first verse is verse 12, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty." And what will happen, he says? And he says, "And it shall be brought upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low." It is a day to humble men because they stand before the holy and righteous God. But it is the day of the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 19. He says, when it happens, when it comes, it says, "They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord, or literally away from the terror of the Lord, and the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake the earth mightily. That day that they stood before Mount Sinai, the ground, the earth trembled. In the day of the Lord, in His judgments upon the earth during that tribulation period, the whole earth is going to be shaken by the mighty judgments of God that come upon the earth. One other passage, Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 14. He says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and it hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation." Look at the next expression. "A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers." He says, "I will bring distress upon men. They shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuse. Neither their gold nor neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. He will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land." Now, that's particularly a judgment upon Israel and their land, but in one sense, it's a picture of what's going to take place on the whole earth in that day of judgment. So, that's what we see proceeding from the throne, are thunderings and lightnings and voices. Again, an indication that judgment is about to be poured out upon the earth. Go back to Revelation 4. Look at the second part of verse 5. He says, "And he also saw seven lamps of fire which were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." So before the throne, or before the face of the throne, or before the side of the throne, or in the presence of the one who sits on the throne, he says there are basically seven lamps of fire, and they are burning continuously. Kind of what we see in the tabernacle and later in the temple. There is a lampstand, a golden lampstand that's in the holy place. And the priests light it, and it burns continually for light within that place that they serve God. So he says, on these seven lamps, he says, they are represent something. They picture something. He says, they are the seven spirits of God. Now, we looked at that same expression in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, so I don't want to spend too much time going over it again. But many believe that this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. They think the seven is an indication of the spiritual perfection of the Holy Spirit Himself. I think it's much more likely that these are seven angels, and angels certainly are spirits. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 1, verse 14 indicate that angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God. But these are seven angels, spirits, who stand before the throne of God, I believe, ready to do His bidding. Look at Revelation chapter 8, for instance. When it's time for the seven trumpets judgments to be initiated, this is what we see. Look at verse 1, Revelation 8, 1. It says, "When He opened the seventh seal," that's the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, "there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels." Now, here's the word is actually used. Angels as messengers. "I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now, where is their position? They stand before God. I think this is very likely the same spirits, the lamps of fire, that stand before the throne of God. The fire is burning. Again, I think it points to God's judgment, the day of the Lord. If you look at the trumpet judgments that are sounded here in Revelation chapter 8, nearly every one of them has some element of fire involved in it that's poured out upon the earth. And so I think that seven lamps of fire is tied in with that as well. Okay, go back to chapter 4. In verse 6, he says, "Before the throne," and this means, again, in the sight of the throne, in the sight of the one who sits on the throne, in the face of the throne, the presence of the throne, there is a sea of glass, like crystal. Literally, the expression there is not a sea of glass. It's not something that's made of glass. It is a glassy sea. It's an adjective that's used there. It is a glassy sea. And he says, it's like crystal. And the idea there is it's crystal clear. This sea is like crystal, and it's like clear crystal that's sitting there before the throne. Of course, you wonder, what is this? This is in heaven. Look at chapter 15 for just a second. We see a couple of references in other places to something that is this glassy sea. In chapter 15, verse 2, we see the seven last plagues that God is going to pour out upon the earth, the bowls of God's wrath that are going to be poured out upon the earth. And notice, look at verse 2. He says, I saw something like a sea of glass, or literally like a glassy sea mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, I saw them standing on the sea of glass, or the glassy sea, having harps of God. Now, who do you think these are who are standing there before on that sea of glass, or glassy sea? They've won the victory over what? The beast. Over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. All the things that are described in chapter 13. Go back to Revelation 6 for a second. We see a reference to those same people, I think. Look at verse 9. When the fifth seal is loosened from the scroll, it says in verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So these ones who are standing on that glassy sea are martyrs. So those who have been killed during the tribulation period because they stood for Jesus Christ and refused the mark of the beast, refused to worship him or take his number or his name. And so that's what he sees. Look at chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21. There's one other reference. And let's look down at verse 18. This is a description of the New Jerusalem. This is the city that comes down from God out of heaven, and we see a description of all that. I just want to look at two things, and both of them have reference to gold. Very common ideas. Look at verse 18. The construction of the wall of this city was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. Okay? A lot of people think that, you know, heaven is going to be a city of gold. The city itself, it says, was pure gold. Of course, this is not heaven. This is the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. But he says that this pure gold was like clear glass. Like clear glass. Look at verse 21. He says that the 12 gates of the city were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and this time he says like transparent glass. Again, transparent, another word for clear. This is clear glass. So the street of gold, but it's like glass, glassy idea there as well. And so we see it in the New Jerusalem. You also see a sea back in Solomon's temple. Go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 7 for just a second. 1 Kings chapter 7. Solomon was used of God to build this magnificent temple in Jerusalem. Temple that David wanted to build, but he was not allowed to because he was a man of war. Solomon, his whole reign was one of peace. And so God allowed him to build this beautiful, beautiful temple. And it was a magnificent, building. It was so much more grand in scale than the tabernacle. The tabernacle was beautiful and it had lots of wonderful materials in it. I mean, we have bronze and silver and gold and so forth throughout it. But, the temple would have dwarfed it. Now, in the tabernacle, there are two things that were set out in the courtyard, two pieces of furniture, if we call them that. I never like that word because that's not really what it is. I think a furniture is something I can sit on or lay down on, but you couldn't do that in these. There's the brazen altar that was used for the sacrifices, and between the tabernacle itself, the sanctuary, and the brazen altar, what was sitting there? The laver. Yeah, laver, which had very likely a place on the bottom that held water for washing their feet, and then something above that were used to wash their hands is what many people believe about it. But in the temple, it's called something else. Look with me at it. It is the equivalent of the laver, but it's much larger. Look at verse 23. He says, and he made the sea. And again, that's the word that's used to describe it. He made the sea of cast bronze. So you can see the material fits with the laver because they were both of bronze. He says it was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits. That's 7.5 feet. He says, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. So it's 45 feet in circumference around. This is a pretty large piece. Verse 24, and below its brim were ornamental buds encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The ornamental buds were cast in two rows when it was cast. And it stood on 12 oxen. Three looking toward the north, three looking toward the west, three looking toward the south, and three looking toward the east. And the sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. We won't read any more, but this is a grand thing. It's a massive basin. It's called a sea. It's 15 feet wide, 7.5 feet tall, 45 feet around in circumference. But it fits with this labor. But he refers to it, because it's so large and vast and so forth, he refers to it as a sea. Well, there it is. You know, right in front of the sanctuary, which in the Holy of Holies in that sanctuary is the dwelling place of God. Well, we've got the same thing described in Revelation chapter 4, where we've got this glassy sea-like crystal that stands there before the throne. And later on, again, we see the martyrs, those who had been killed during the tribulation, standing there on that sea of glass. So again, we see a picture that the temple and the tabernacle were both patterned after heaven itself, and that's what we see there. Go back with me to Revelation 4 again. This time, look at the last part of verse 6. Here we see some interesting creatures, and two descriptions of where they fit. And I don't know exactly what this means, but it says in verse 6, in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. In fact, the Greek used in there says they were swelling out, full of eyes in front and in back. The word for living creature is the King James translates it beast. And I think the New King James changes that translation, because we do see two beasts that are described in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. There is a beast that rises up out of the sea, who I believe is the Antichrist. There is a beast that rises up out of the earth, that I think is it is identified as the false prophet. The word that is used for those two beasts is the Greek word therion. The word therion refers to a wild, a dangerous, a venomous beast or animal. And that's exactly what they are in God's eyes. That's exactly what these two beings are. Very much like the word used by God in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel gets a vision of beasts that will rule upon the earth. And each one of those beasts represents kings or kingdoms, Gentile kings or kingdoms that will reign over the people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. It is what Jesus referred to in Luke chapter 21 as the times of the Gentiles. And, you know, and if you think back, Nebuchadnezzar has a vision of this great image, which is the same thing. Pictures the same thing to us. It's Gentile dominion. Head of gold, arms and chest of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron and feet of iron and clay mixture. So that's how Nebuchadnezzar sees it. He says these beautiful image with these precious metals in it. When God describes those same kingdoms, he says, nope, they're wild beasts, they're dangerous animals, that's how they are. The word in Revelation chapter 4 is not the same. It's not the same. It's not the Greek word therion. It is the word zoa. Now, I give you that word because can you think of a word that's similar to that? Do what? Zoology, yeah. A zoo. You go to a zoo. What do you go to a zoo see? Animals, yeah. Zoology is the study of animal life. Some people say, what's the difference between zoology and biology? Biology is a study of life, period, which includes animal life and plant life and even microbes, things like that. So all different forms of life. Zoology is the study in particular of animal life. So what we see is the description of these living creatures, animalistic type creatures. In fact, look at the description of them. Look at verse 7. He says, the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now, if you look at those four descriptions, they sort of are a picture of the representative of all the different forms of animal life. You've got the highest form of animal life, which is man. Now, some people don't like seeing man referred to as an animal. And I think the reason why is because we recognize that people want to put them all together and say animals and, you know, of all kinds, all evolved from one thing and man evolved originally from that. But in a sense, they are living creatures like that. So you've got man, the highest form. You've got the flying eagle, which is the most magnificent of the birds. You've got the lion, which is the king of the beasts, the wild animals. And then you've got the calf or the ox that is described there, which is domesticated animals. So all the various forms of animal life are represented by these creatures. And so these are living creatures of some sort. We're going to talk about what they are as we go on, but that's why this was just translated, I think, this way in the New King James, to say these are not beasts as in wild or dangerous animals. They are magnificent living creatures represented and pictured in these creatures here. Now, their position in verse 6 is they are in the midst of the throne, and they are also described as being around the throne. Now, around, I can understand. I mean, it's somewhere outside the throne. In the midst of the throne is an interesting word. I'm not exactly sure what it does, but it seems to indicate that these creatures are very, very close to the throne, almost as if they were a part of the throne, or some believe that they are actually there in support of the throne. I'm not exactly sure, but I think these are probably the closest creatures to the throne. I think the 24 elders are probably outside of them. These are the ones that are right there by the throne. Now, how are they described? The first thing we see about them in verse 6 is they are full of eyes. They are swelling out full of eyes in front and in back. I think of that. I think of an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show when the creatures from Kolak, is that what it was? Yeah, Kolak was the guy. Planet. But they had eyes in the back and they had eyes in the front. That's what these creatures have. They have eyes in the back and eyes in the front. But they're full of eyes. It doesn't tell us exactly how many, but they're full. They're swelling out full of eyes in front and in back. Now, what does that kind of imply? Why the emphasis upon the eyes? They can see. I mean, they can see everywhere. They can see every direction. They're in front and back, and their ability to see all things and their diligent watchfulness at all times, I think, is indicated. Some believe that it's actually an indication of their intelligence and their knowledge of all things as well, as they serve the Lord in this capacity. So that's the first thing we see, is that they're full of eyes in front and in back. Verse 7, he goes on and says, each one of the living creatures has a similarity. What are they like? And again, these are symbols. We're told in the book of the Revelation when symbols are used, and here's one of them. The first living creature was not a lion. Okay, the first living creature was like a lion. It was similar in appearance to a lion. The second living creature was like or similar in appearance to a calf or a young ox, a beast of burden type of thing. He said the third living creature had a face that was like a man. It's not a man. He says it has a face like a man. And then the fourth living creature was like, he says, a flying eagle. Not just an eagle, but a flying eagle or a soaring eagle. And we see the description of them. Verse 8, we see further that the four living creatures, each one had six wings. Okay, each one had six wings. And again, he stresses again that they were full of eyes around and where else? Within. I don't even know what that means. Eyes within. John probably, you know, searching for words to describe this too. What do these look like? Well, it's like this, you know. It's like Paul trying to, if he were trying to describe to us what he saw when he was caught up into heaven. He said, I can't describe it. John does it as best he can to make it clear to us. They're full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, crying out that God is holy. Perfectly appropriate what Craig Polk selected for our song tonight, that last song. This is where it comes from. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and then emphasizing that He is the one who was and is to come. That's the description of these four living creatures. Now, what are these four living creatures, or who are these four living creatures? Now, I want you to go back with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel was a prophet. He was also a priest. We often see people holding more than one office than he does. He is a priest. He's a prophet. He was taken away into captivity into Babylon. We read that in the first verse. He says, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now, very similar to what we see of John. John saw visions of God, taken by the Spirit of God up into heaven to see what he described in Revelation 4. He's given a vision of God here. This is a vision that he receives while he's in Babylon. River Kebar is in Babylon, and he's there in the captivity. And it says in verse 2, and I'm going to read through this. It's a rather long chapter, but we're going to read through it because I want you to get a picture of what he sees. Don't worry about trying to understand it all. I don't think we will. I don't think that probably we will. But this is how he sees it. Notice there's a lot of symbolic language in this one as well. But keep in mind what we read in Revelation chapter 4 and look at how similar we find the description here in Ezekiel chapter 1. He says in verse 2, on the fifth day of the month, which is in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. And he says, then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. And brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst, like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. So he sees, first of all, a whirlwind coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing this. And he says, and also from this cloud, he says, came the likeness of four living creatures. Again, actually doesn't say came four living creatures. It says came the likeness, something that looked like four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. So we've got these creatures that have faces and wings. And he says, their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. Again, look at the idea there of the bronze. Keep going. Verse 8. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides. Each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Very similar to what we saw in Revelation 4. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Now I looked at the living creatures, and behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they moved, they went forward in any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went, and as for their rims, they were so high that they were awesome. And the rims were full of eyes all around before them. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went. And the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And when those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Now the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, it says, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. And a voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of what? A throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. And on the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. And also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow, like in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at the one who sits on this throne that's above the living creatures. It's the glory of the Lord. And so when Ezekiel says, when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. Now you look at all this description. You've got, I'll just quickly run through these things and look at the striking similarity of Revelation 4. You've got a whirlwind, a great cloud with raging fire. Fire again, pictures judgment, I believe. Out of the whirlwind, four living creatures that were described as being like man. Each creature had four faces and four wings. Now, that's a little bit different than what we see in Revelation chapter 4. How many wings in Revelation 4? Six. There's six. These have four. In Revelation 4, we see six. You've got, they sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. Bronze in the Old Testament is a picture of sin being judged. Remember the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness is a picture of the sin that was judged. The likenesses of the faces are the same four things we see in Revelation. The man, the lion, the ox, and the flying eagle. Although in this case, every living creature has all four faces. And that we didn't see that in the Revelation. You've got four creatures that go like lightning. You've got the creatures all being full, having rims full of eyes. And in this particular case, you've got these living creatures move. They've got wheels. We see nothing about that in Revelation chapter 4, but here they've got wheels. I always thought this was an interesting thing. These creatures with wheels in heaven. We wonder what heaven's going to be like. It's different. It's different. So the firmament there above the heads of living creatures, like crystal. It describes like crystal. There's the throne with the precious jewel of sapphire, a man, the appearance of a man above the throne. I think this is God Himself because, you know, man was created in what image? The image of God. So we've got that idea. There's a rainbow there, and all of this is the appearance of the glory of God, which is what filled the tabernacle and filled the temple. The glory of God filled the tabernacle and the temple and dwelt in the midst of His people. Ezekiel sees it, falls on his face in humility and worship, in awe and in submission to God. If you look at the rest of this book, what it kind of breaks down is Ezekiel chapter 2, he is sent to Israel as a rebellious nation. They have rebelled against God. And look at verse 9, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it." So you've got a hand that's holding a scroll of a book. In Revelation chapter 5, you see that very same picture in heaven. There is a scroll that is a seven-seal scroll that is there in heaven. And written on this, verse 10 says, he spread it out before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Which is the result of what? Judgment. Again, judgment. They're coming on the people of God for their rebellion against Him. Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel is described as being called by God to be a watchman for Israel. And he calls upon Israel as their watchman to hear what God has to say. What do we see repeated several times in the book of Revelation? He who has an ear, let him hear. Same thing here. Ezekiel chapter 4 through 24, Ezekiel warns of Jerusalem being besieged and being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. We see the same thing is going to take place during the tribulation period. In the book of the Revelation, it's described in Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It talks about the city of Jerusalem being trampled underfoot by the Gentiles for 3.5 years or 42 months. Now, there are clearly some differences in the descriptions of the four living creatures in Ezekiel and the ones in Revelation 4. Again, the number of the wings, the number of the faces, the fact that in Ezekiel, every creature has all four faces in Revelation. It's not. But there are a lot of similarities as well. Look at Ezekiel chapter 10 and look at who these creatures are. Ezekiel chapter 10 and two verses. Let's pick out two verses. He's seeing a vision here of the glory of God being escorted by these creatures. And he says in verse 15, "And the cherubim were lifted up." He says, "This was the living creature I saw by the river Kebar." The very same creatures he describes in Ezekiel chapter 1, he says, these are who? What kind of creatures are these? These are the cherubim. Now, we've seen cherubim mentioned before. Where do we find them? First mention. Garden of Eden. God placed cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life, to protect that tree so that man could not partake of it and live in that fallen state as they were in. So we see the cherubim there. We see the same thing in verse 20. This is the living creature. We'll look at verse 19. "The cherubim lifted their wings. They mounted up from the earth in my sight, and when they went out, the wheels were beside them. And they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. This is the living creature I saw under the God of Israel by the river Kebar, and I knew they were cherubim." Notice verse 20. "The living creature which I saw where? Under. under the God of Israel by the river Kibar, and I knew, he says, that they were cherubim. Now, there's one other creature I want us to look at, and that's described in Isaiah chapter 6. And this is a vision that Isaiah sees, the prophet Isaiah sees, also in connection with Israel going into captivity and the judgment of God. And look at starting at verse 1. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. This is Isaiah's vision now. He was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled what? The temple. Now, is he talking about God sitting on a throne on the earth, in the temple on earth? No, this is the temple which is in heaven. This is the dwelling place of God in heaven. He says, this throne is high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills the temple. Verse 2. And above it stood seraphim. Seraphim. Each one had how many wings? Six. Same as what we see in the book of Revelation chapter 4. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now, that's even different than what we see in Ezekiel. He says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, here we've got a couple of similarities to what we see in Revelation chapter 4. Each one here has six wings, which we saw in Revelation 4:8. And these creatures here, the seraphim, cry out, holy, holy, holy to the Lord of hosts, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. So, who are the four living creatures in Revelation chapter 4? And my answer is, I don't know. And you don't know, and I don't know if anybody knows for sure. Now, clearly, there's two things we can say, I believe, about them that is true. Go back to Revelation for a second and look at first chapter 5. Both of these are in chapter 5. Look with me, first of all, in verse 8. Verse 8 talks about the Lamb of God taking the scroll out of the hand of the one who sits on the throne. And he says, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of who? The saints. Now, I think what we see here is a distinction between the saints, between men, and between these creatures that are seen in heaven. The 24 elders, I don't believe, are men. And the four living creatures are not men. They're distinguished here in this verse. Now, one other distinction is found in verse 11. Then John says, and then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. The living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So the living creatures and the 24 elders are also not the same as angels. Angels are those who were sent by God, sent with a message, okay? And so these creatures are not sent out by God. The 24 elders are not sent out, and the four living creatures are not sent out from God. In fact, I don't think the four living creatures ever leave the presence of God. I think they always surround the presence of God. So these are heavenly beings. These are spiritual beings. You can say they're angelic in nature, and that's probably true. They're either cherubim or seraphim, or some other similar type of creature. That's about all I think we could say about these. But they're heavenly beings. They have a special purpose, and that's what we're going to look at next time. What is the purpose? What is the role of these four living creatures? We're going to compare it to the role that we see the cherubim have throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and then relate that to what we see. The number of them is significant. We'll talk about that. What does the number mean? How is it related? And what is their purpose in ministering to God as they are described here in this book? So that's what we'll pick up next time right there, the Lord willing.